Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have John Glennon from NHL.com coming up at 7.30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. David Poyle dropping by the show at 8.30 as well. We'll get into the Titans and the beginning of the NFL Combine a little bit later coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Joe Rex Road is live from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine, a.k.a. the Underwear Olympics, a.k.a. Joe's favorite event on the calendar for this year. So, Joe, congratulations. I know it's a big day for you.
Fantastic sporting event. It's just, it's such an amazing thing. I really love it here when people, like some fans show up and then, like, they watch, like, the benching and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, and then after, like, 10 minutes, like, oh, so this is it, huh? Okay. Well, let's go. Let's go get a sandwich.
How many squats you think you can do?
Oh man, if this isn't proof of the NFL being king of the world, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So looking forward to hearing from Brand Carthon and Mike Vrabel a little bit later today. Andrew on the text line says, has the text line piled up with trade all the picks for Connor Bedard yet? This from Andrew on the text line. Joe, I feel safe about one thing. Whoever ends up winning this draft lottery, I can probably bet you that they're not going to trade it. That's just my guess. When the draft comes here to Nashville this summer, I feel very confident about Connor Bedard being the one walking across the stage at number one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. He'll be picked number one, yes. So a lot of bleeping the bed for Bedard out there. So we haven't seen that one.
We have not seen that one, but they do have a lot of picks now, so we'll see what happens on that front. So I caught up with David Poyle yesterday. After the formal part of the press conference, and we talked about a variety of different things, but one thing we talked about was the trades that have already been made and how he views where the team sits for the remainder of this week. Here's what David Poyle had to say yesterday after the press conference.
David, what do you make of the spot the team's in right now? Obviously, Niederreiter's traded, Janot traded last night, and you still have a few days before the deadline here. What do you make overall of where you guys are right now?
Well, it's busy out there. You can tell because I'm losing my voice. And this weekend, it was so many calls. So I never know how to exactly answer this question because I could tell you right now I have nothing going on, and then an hour later we announce something. But, it's important to me that we have some changes based on our season that we've had. In my opinion, we should be a little bit better than we have. I thought we would be for sure in the playoffs, and now we're on the outside looking in, and it's the time. You can't just kind of hope that something is going to happen, so you have to make some changes, and it's never easy. Niederreiter was a good player for us. I mean, he came as advertised. He did his thing. He played pretty consistently. He's going to score 20-ish goals. That's what he is. Tanner Snow is a young player that had a fantastic rookie season. This season, he just really struggled, at least offensively. And you get back at what's your return. And so what we've accomplished in the last couple of days is we have a lot of draft choices, and we have draft choices in the next 3 years very high, whether it be a second in 24 and a first in 25, and that's all part of the plan. I mean, because the Poyles are planners, always have a plan, and then the second part of that is the Milwaukee pipeline is getting filled up. Next year, we could have four or five first-round draft choices in Milwaukee. Askarov, our goaltender, Svechkov, our Russian player from the first round, we hope to sign LaRue, another first round pick. Kemmel's coming over from Finland, maybe Tomasino if he's not here, though he looks like he's good enough to stay here. So it's coming pretty fast, and the changes are coming pretty fast. So whoever I'm talking to said, well, you're going to have a rebuild, and I said that's your word, my word is reset.
That was David Poyle yesterday after the press conference. So Niederreiter has been traded. Tanner Janot has been traded. What's next for the Predators this week? That's now the question. Now, Joe, I'm interested because a lot of people have asked me, how in the world did Tanner Janot, number one, get that return, which that part of it I couldn't tell you. But number two, how did he get a bigger return than Nino Niederreiter? We've seen a lot of that. A lot of people have asked me that. And I know a lot of Predators fans were upset with the second-round pick a year from now being the return for Nino Niederreiter. I think a lot of people are missing where the market is right now. People have almost no appetite to take on money beyond right now, beyond this year. Because, you know, think about the deals that have been made. O'Reilly, Kane is probably about to be made to the Rangers. I mean, you can go up down the list of the big moves that have been made. Horvat before he signed the extension. Meyer before he signed the extension. Like, a lot of these people are UFAs or are restricted free agents, and their contracts have yet to be determined. Like, a lot of people are taking on rental contracts. And if you're not dealing those guys, I know that Nino Niederreiter only makes $4 million. I get it. But that's $4 million that the Predators did not have to retain next year. And you don't see in today's flat cap a lot of those moves being made with term left on their contracts because teams either don't want it or can't handle it for the next year. So that's why the price is different. Now, the Janot one is an extreme example because I still, for the life of me, can't figure out how the Predators got six assets out of Tanner Janot. Congratulations to them. It's a great move. And even the Lightning GM, Julien Brisebois, talked about it yesterday. He's like, yeah, I overpaid, but I don't care because this is what we have at our disposal right now. So I get it. The Janot one is an extreme example. I'm just saying the way the market is right now, people don't have much appetite to take on term unless you really love a guy. And that's just where the people are right now.
Yeah. And look, you know, Tolvanen obviously has gone on and it's, you know, well, again, I'm still a little bit, we'll see with Tolvanen, but hey, good for him. He has fit in well there and produced. I would not be surprised at all if, you know, goes down there and is perfect for them. It's exactly the type of guy they've had, like on that third line, smashing people. He's got skill. Everybody knows he can play. He's had a snake bitten year. And it, and if he comes right in and gives them a jolt, the Bolts a jolt, and helps mm-hmm. them on a run, then that's when you're in their position, you know, yeah, that's why you use that stuff. I mean, it is right now. And, of course, as we talked about yesterday, and I'm sure you guys talked about more, clearly this was Eastern Conference bidding war.
Yes.
We know the Rangers were interested in him. So that's a great thing when you have that. Now, if you spin that forward, could there be, you know, I feel like Ekholm has got to be of high interest to some of these teams out here. As yeah. the playoffs approach, he should be. So can you get that going for him? Land yourself another first and then some.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I would the Ekholm part of this, like I almost feel like in the East – a lot of the moves have been made already. Like, I'm not saying you won't see more moves made from the Torontos and the Rangers and the Bostons of the world, but a lot of those have already happened, right? Like, the Boston's made their move. Tampa's made a move. Toronto got Ryan O'Reilly. You know, New Jersey got Timo Meier. You know, the Rangers are going to end up getting Tarasenko and probably Patrick Kane both. I mean, a lot of these moves are in there now. So, like, is there – if you're in the West – are you looking around and you're saying, all right, like our path is there. Like there's no dominant team in the West right now. Everybody keeps waiting on Colorado to get there, and they might by the time the playoffs come around, but they just keep getting banged up left and right, and I don't know if they're going to get there in the regular season. So like the Ekholm part of this, is there a Western Conference team that looks around and says, you know what, we really need a left-shot defenseman in our top four. Let's go get him. Like a lot of the noise yesterday, and we've talked about this team, but LeBron was talking about it yesterday. Darren Dreger was talking about it yesterday. Apparently Edmonton is hot on Matthias Ekholm. Like they are heavily interested in Matthias Ekholm. So does that factor into something, and how much does the term with Ekholm left on his contract influence what the price will be? Because I think we've seen enough to know that if you have term on the contract in this market right now, it affects the price negatively. How negatively will it affect it? I still think you can get a first-round pick out of it, but how negatively will it affect it?
Did you see, by the way, the proposed trade from like our Oilers, Edmonton Oilers writer and fans for Ekholm?
I did.
I mean, if the Preds – maybe we could probably talk about that on the other side. But to me, it's like – as soon as I saw that, I'm like, you're kidding, right? What? Like, if the Preds got this, I mean, my gosh, I don't think there's any way that they would get anything close to this. But I mean, this is at least the perception over there of how much he would mean to them.
Well, let's talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Who could be on the move from the Predators this week as the NHL trade deadline is coming up on Friday? We'll continue that discussion next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium coming up on April 15th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 5. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium coming up on April 15th, 615-737-1025. Discussing the Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, 615-737-1025. And, Joe, you mentioned a trade proposal at the Athletic that the Edmonton Riders and their fans have put together in order to receive Matthias Ekholm back from the Predators. Now, they've gone through this exercise with a few different defensemen, be that Jacob Chychrun out in Arizona, or be that Erik Karlsson with the Sharks, but Ekholm also in this exercise as well. And the return in this proposal from the Edmonton part of this for the Predators is pretty astronomical.
Yeah, well, Tyson, so you got to send some money back, right? So Tyson Barrie coming back, basically. And then yeah, you got Puljujarvi, you also a little bit of money back, but he's got an expiring deal. Barry has 2 years left. Then you got two prospects. Xavier Borgol is, you know, a very promising prospect. Matvei Petrov, like a sort of a B prospect. First round pick this year, second round pick next year. Yep. That's the proposed haul for Ekholm. So basically these stories are like, who says no? And then you basically have people react to them. And my answer was the only thing that would bring a louder yes would be a resolution to ban pedal taverns in Nashville. I mean, like, you jump all over something like this. I mean, just to me, a first and a second alone. Prospects also, and again, like, you know, sending money back certainly, and maybe with some of these deals, you know, that's obviously a possibility.
Yep.
Third team getting involved is a possibility. But, yeah, look, it's like you've been talking about, look at this team. There is possibly a way to kind of quickly get back to competitiveness, potentially, if you can parlay some of these picks into some, a veteran, things like that. You know, if that's the case, you want Ekholm on your team the next couple of years. You want Ryan McDonagh on your team the next couple of years. But a first-round pick for Ekholm right now, if that was the only thing that Edmonton or whoever offered and you were David Poile / Barry Trotz, what would you do?
That's a good question. If it was only a first-round pick, I would have to think about it pretty hard. I still might do it, but I'd have to think about it pretty hard. If it's a first-round pick and another pick or a prospect, like, I think I'm doing it if I'm the Predators. I think that's where that. I mean, we heard the clip from David Poile. You know, he said it's time. Like, you can hope something gets better, or you can go out and make changes, and that's what David Poile has done over this past weekend, is make changes. Like, Ekholm, to me, as far as this week is concerned, is still the one asset that I think they could get a lot back from. Like, I'll put it to you this way, with Cal Foote coming in, and look, I've had some conversations about Cal Foote. I don't know that my expectations for him are all that high. Like, they'll probably re-sign him. He's a former first round pick and he's an RFA. You know, it's not gone well in Tampa for the most part from Cal Foote. So we'll see what that looks like with him. But I also think that means that Dante Fabbro is all but out the door. Like, if Dante Fabbro is still on the team next week, I'll be surprised. But you're not getting a whole lot back from Dante Fabbro. So the one guy that I think is realistic to move this week is Ekholm, that could bring you back a lot. We can have a conversation about McDonough. Adam and I talked about that yesterday. I don't think he's long for Nashville, be that this week or be that in the offseason. But Ekholm is the interesting one right now. I don't think they're going to move Saros this week. I don't think timing-wise it makes a ton of sense for them to do that, unless they just get their socks blown off of them and L.A. decides to go all in and they want UC Saros bad, and then maybe you change your mind then. Like, Ekholm's the one guy. So I'm curious, like, what that threshold is for David Poile where he says, you know what, that's too good of a deal for us to pass up, and we have to do it. I'm not sure if it's only a first-round pick, if that's going to be enough.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, if it does get to the bidding war situation, I don't think it would be it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think that that's where you start. But that would be interesting. I mean, you got the draft here, you know, the more first-round picks you can have, kind of, you know, ring in the new era. I'm sure that sounds pretty good too. But what about LA? How about Arvidsson and Fiala coming back for Saros? What do you think?
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Yeah, just go ahead and make that deal. Yeah, it'd be good stuff. John in Thompson Station says Carolina struck out with getting Meyer, so they still need a forward, particularly with other East teams stocking up. Also, their window could be closing in a year or two. If they wanted Duchesne, what would be a fair return for the Preds? If they take all of his contract, the return would be slight, but maybe the Preds would take some of his salary and get a first. This from John and Thompson Station on the text line.
I tell you what, I saw Sarah Sibian put out the Carolina, and of course she covered that beat for several years,
yep,
put out the Carolina going after Duchesne idea, and I'm like, well, the Preds will absolutely answer the phone.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not – I mean, the idea of salary retention – which, by the way, the rules I believe are you can retain up to 50%.
Yeah.
It also means that you have to take on that. You have to spread it out for the duration of the deal too. So it's basically like buying someone out, right? Like you have to pay whatever you're retaining each year, and it hits your cap each year. But if you could like retain $2 million of his salary and get a first round pick and move him,
I mean,
dreamland.
Yeah, I mean, to John's point, we've talked about the arms race in the East. Like, Carolina is the one team that hadn't really found one yet. Like, they haven't, and they're a great team, but they've not found – they need a forward. Like, they're really good. They're another forward away. Right, like, if they go into the playoffs right now and they don't have another top six forward, I think that they have made a mistake. Like, they're good on defense. Like, we're talking about Ekholm. They don't need Ekholm. Like, they're fine on defense. They need a forward. You know, could Duchesne be an option there? Like, I still have my doubts that the Predators can move that contract. But if Carolina called, I'd be answering the phone for sure.
Who else would be a strong candidate to be on Carolina's radar right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, look.
In terms of that.
I think Patrick Kane would be a great fit for him. The problem is, I think Patrick Kane's made up his mind as to where he wants to go, and that's the Rangers.
It's New York or bust for Patty Kane.
Right. So, like, I think he would actually be, like, a perfect fit in Carolina, but apparently he doesn't want to go there. So, I mean, if he doesn't want to go there, it's hard to do.
Good barbecue, man. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of the top guys that are available have been moved already. So, if you're Carolina – how desperate do you get? And if you get desperate, can a team like the Predators take advantage of that?
If Poile gets Duchesne traded to Carolina, gets a first-round pick back, doesn't retain any salary, he needs to immediately be rehired as GM.
Can you imagine if the last two moves that he makes is getting 17,000 draft picks in return for Tanner Jeannot and then trading Matt Duchesne and getting a first-round pick for it?
David Poile mic drop. My goodness.
I'm just saying, this is going to be pretty interesting next few days, I think, to see what the Predators do. Like I said, just based on conversations I had yesterday, I would be surprised if they're done. Now, look, it's the deadline. Sometimes things you think are going to happen fall apart. So maybe they've got some plans and it just doesn't come to fruition over the next few days. But just based on some conversations I had yesterday, I think there's still some activity going on with the Predators.
Oh, no doubt, man. I mean, they are continuing to captivate us at least through the end of this week.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from NHL.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds and everything that's happened over the course of the past 3-4 days with this organization and what could happen here in the next couple of days leading up to the NHL trading deadline. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning talking Preds. And to help us do that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend John Glennon from NHL.com. John, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys?
We are good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, John, you are as familiar as anybody in this market with Barry Trotz and the job that he has done here in Nashville as head coach. What do you make about his decision to enter the world of the front office and become general manager and become the second general manager of the Nashville Predators in the history of their franchise? I guess how intrigued are you about this decision by Trotz and the job that you think he could do coming up with the Predators?
Yeah, you know, I am surprised and intrigued, I guess, by that decision by Barry Trotz. You know, when you look at, you know, certainly one of the most successful coaches in NHL history, you know, a guy who had been, you know, successful in three different stops, very successful, you know, coming off some great runs with the New York Islanders. You know, you would have thought maybe that year off or so, or a number of months off anyway for Barry Trotz, you know, eventually would have turned into another coaching opportunity. And certainly Barry Trotz had opportunities to get back into the coaching game. But, you know, when he said yesterday he was looking for a new challenge, he was looking for change, you know, that's certainly what he's going to get right now, because obviously Barry Trotz, you know, does not have front office experience. He's a tremendous coach. We know that. He's a very smart person. I think he's going to be a very good CEO, and I think he's a very good person in terms of being attentive to detail, a great, great people person. We know that. But certainly, you know, I think there's going to be a learning curve for anyone who is entering the front office, you know, for the first time at age 60.
Right. And, I guess on top of that, John, I do wonder. I mean, it's pretty clear. I don't wonder. It's pretty clear through all this that it's basically, you know, the same front office, you know, the same staff. I assume a lot of, you know, the same strategies and approaches and all that. And I guess I kind of wondered when they made the change, like, will Trotz bring in someone else, to I guess kind of just, you know, bring in a fresh perspective? It doesn't appear that way. Do you find that concerning?
I think that's a reasonable question to raise, you know, because, you know, if you're a Predators fan, you know, who is frustrated right now, and then certainly there are some, you know, and you're saying, okay, you know, we want a different tack. You know, we want to shake things up. You know, we want a different perspective on things. You know, my initial feeling is obviously, you know, it's not a hugely different perspective. You know, I obviously Barry Trotz and David Poile were joined at the hip, you know, for a long time here in Nashville, and even before that in the Washington organization. And certainly Barry Trotz talked yesterday about how he plans to rely on three assistant general managers that have done, you know, quality work here in the Nashville organization. So yeah, I think that's it's a legitimate question though. If you're wondering, you know, do we need, you know, a radical change? Do we need someone who's looking at things totally differently to get back among the NHL's elite and to compete for a Stanley Cup? You know, this does not represent that change. Nonetheless, as I said earlier, I do think Barry Trotz, is a very, very bright man. An outstanding. I think he'll make an excellent CEO. But is he a radical departure from David Poyle? I don't think we can say that. Certainly without watching him anyway.
John, obviously a ton has happened with this team over the course of the past, 3-4 days here. What do you think all this means for John Hines as he moves forward here? Obviously, they've still got to play hockey games. They play tonight. You got to close out the regular season. What do you think all this means for John Hines?
Well, I think my initial gut reaction, is that generally when a new general manager takes over, if things aren't going extremely well, generally at one point or another, he's going to want his coach in the position. And John Hines' team is certainly they're not out of the playoff chase, but you certainly wouldn't consider them a favorite to make the postseason right now. My initial thought, again, is that, Barry Trotz, maybe at the end of the season, after he watches things in person, after he evaluates things, would maybe say, I'm looking for my own guy in this job. On the other hand, Barry Trotz is a former coach, obviously. He mentioned yesterday how he thinks John Hines is a great coach. And Barry Trotz is a very patient, a very understanding man himself, much like David Poyle. So I wouldn't absolutely say that Barry Trotz is going to come in and in a matter of months, the axe will drop on John Hines. I would say the odds are in that favor. But I think John Hines, if he's looking, for kind of a silver lining and all the change, it's that, of all the people to take over as a new GM, this is a former coach who understands what coaches go through and is himself a very patient and understanding man. So it's not an automatic, I wouldn't say, that Barry Trotz makes a move. But if I had to put a dollar on it, I would say there would be change there.
Yeah, I agree. We were talking about that earlier. I mean, I think it's kind of a best case scenario if your hands in terms of like the background of the new GM coming in, right? Like
right.
You got a shot. Like my big question is, does Trotz have someone like really in mind, or is it totally a blank slate? If it's a blank slate, maybe Hines can impress him enough. Speaking of impressive, how about that haul for Tanner Jeannot? How much did that blow you away when you saw it? Were you like us and like refreshing your computer to see if you were or checking your glasses? And then also, what do you think we're going to see this week on that front?
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable haul for Tanner Jeannot. When you're talking about, not only what appears to be a pretty good defensive prospect, but 5 draft picks, including a first rounder. I don't think anybody, could have foresaw that, and there were probably a few different things that went into that. Clearly, Patrice Brisebois and Tampa Bay figured this was kind of his guy, maybe the sort of the one missing ingredient to give the Lightning another chance at making a run at a Stanley Cup. We know that Tanner Jeannot does do a multitude of things very well. He can score. He's physical. He can fight if necessary. He's a penalty killer. There's a lot of things to do. And he was also, and I believe Patrice Brisebois said this too, Tanner Jeannot was going to be a restricted free agent. So the Predators didn't have to move him or he would walk. It wasn't a UFA situation. So Tampa Bay really had to up the ante. I think because of that, in order to make this deal happen, because, certainly the Predators weren't down on Tanner Jeannot and wouldn't have been an incredibly expensive re-signing either to bring Tanner Jeannot back next year. So, yeah, I was surprised still by the haul that brought back, but, good on David Poyle and presumably one of his last deals. But, yeah, I don't think they're done either, and I think when you start looking at the roster now, certainly, you have to wonder if maybe the next man up is a guy like Dante Fabbro, who, like Tanner Jeannot, is going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the season. you know, a first-round draft pick who, you know, probably hasn't lived up to expectations of a first-round draft pick. You know, there's been scratched a couple times this year, and he's on a third pair right now. But still, you know, young enough and has enough potential that the teams are interested in him. So I think, you know, he certainly might be a guy that catches the eye of teams. But I think, you know, clearly the Predators have said nobody's off limits. So you look maybe at a guy like Granlund also. You know, he's only got two more years left on his deal. Granted, that's $5 million a year. But, you know, I don't think it's out of the question that he might be moved. And certainly even, you know, it depends on you know, if teams out there are okay with adding term, you know, guys on 2 or 3 years left in their contracts, you know, guys like Ryan McDonagh and Matthias Ekholm, you know, could have some, you know, suitors in that regard as well. Again, it just depends if teams are willing to add those contracts to their roster.
John Glennon with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, John, obviously with Barry Trotz coming in, that means David Poile is transitioning out, and you've been around David Poile since the beginning here with the Predators. As you look at his tenure, with that coming to an end at general manager at the end of this season, how do you think David Poile should be remembered in Nashville among Predators fans?
Well, I think not only among Nashville Predators fans, but, you know, looking overall, you know, I mean, there's no question that David Poile is one of the best NHL general managers of all time. And maybe I guess I have perhaps a little bit more perspective on it too, because, you know, back in the dark ages, I was growing up a Washington Capitals fan, you know, and I saw what David Poile did in Washington, you know, when he took over as general manager there. That was a team that had never made the playoffs. David Poile came in, improved the team radically in 1 year, and they started going to the playoffs, and they went 14 of the 15 years that David Poile was there. You know, when you look at what he did then in Nashville after that, he not only built a competitive expansion team, you know, one that was able to compete with the bigger markets despite no salary cap for the first, what, 7 years or so, I think it was. But then, you know, and I think people forget this sometimes too, basically had to restart this franchise in a lot of ways. You know, in 2007, when that first change of ownership came, you know, he had to clear the decks. You remember that off season when they lost, God, they had to trade away guys like Kimmo Tiiminen, Thomas Bocoon, Scott Hartnell. You know, they had to let Paul Kariya walk, you know, without a contract to offer, you know, and the list goes on. So he almost had to restart the organization there and build it back up again. And he did that very quickly. So, yeah, if I'm a Predators fan, I have a lot of thanks for what David Poile has done. You know, you look at the overall numbers, you know, obviously the winningest general manager in NHL history, over 1,500 wins, you know, in the playoffs, 15 of the last 18 years here in Nashville. So, yeah, I think they speak for themselves. Obviously, the Achilles heel, and everyone knows this, he never won a Stanley Cup. He only reached the final once, or, you know, his teams did. So that's going to be, you know, the asterisk that sticks with David Poile there. But overall, what a debt of gratitude I think Nashville and you know, NHL fans have to have in general for David Poile.
No doubt, and I do. I also I think, you know, that's well said. That's great perspective, and I feel I guess I'd like your thoughts on this, John. I do feel like this decision, at this point, with the way things have gone and with the way the fan base has increasingly been getting upset, I think this is an effective way to sort of, you know, end it smoothly with good feelings, whereas it could have gone another way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've wondered many times this year myself, you know, without ever really asking David Poile or talking to him about it, whether this would be the year that he would step aside. You know, he's 73, I believe, and you know, certainly put in the time over the years. At the same time, unfortunately, you know, this is not the best of years for the Predators. You know, some of the moves did not pan out. You know, it could have potentially, you know, headed down a darker path, I think, is what you're referencing, and you would have hated to see it come to the point that David Poile was, told, hey, you're out. That's it. You know, it would have been a troubling way to end things, for a guy who's doing so much for the franchise. But I think the way this you know, the naming of Barry Trotz, also, you know, it's interesting to me. It kind of averts a little bit of a question too of, you know, there were three assistant general managers here that were all probably kind of chomping at the bit, hoping that they might get that nod, you know, for the next general manager spot. But, you know, maybe to kind of avoid having to make that choice. And David Poile was apparently, as best we can tell, you know, given the opportunity to pick his successor, you know, maybe to kind of avoid that choice. That's another, good reason to go pick Barry Trotz. And have him kind of be the CEO and overlook all three of those guys who are maybe hungry for the GM job themselves.
Well, John, it's been a very interesting week. Could be a very interesting few days yet to come. Thanks for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
All righty, John Glennon from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Would like a world of change, it helps me to appreciate.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe's best friend Scott Stapp bringing us back in on the program here today. Joe, I turn things over to you.
Thank you. It's been a really good year of travel. So let me tell you a story from yesterday.
Oh, boy.
So I'm at a hotel in downtown Indianapolis. I had to be at another hotel. That's about an 18-minute walk from here. So this is Eastern time. At 7, a little bit past 7:30 Eastern time, I was about to just walk over. So work meetings, athletic work meetings, starting at 8 a.m., you know. But it was raining. It was a very rainy tornado watch kind of day yesterday in Indianapolis. So I was like, okay, shoot, I guess I need to, look into a quick Uber ride. So I did. And I looked at the app, and it had like a – whatever, now they have it's like priority and whatever, luxury, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there was one, it was very close. The car was, very close. And it was like, get you there at 7:48. All right, let's do that. So it's like a courtyard and there's a residence in it and they share a parking lot. So I like to do this if it's a little bit unclear, like where you are, in a city sometimes it can show you at a different location. So I messaged the driver and I said, just so you know, I'm at the courtyard. And he immediately responded, okay, thanks a lot. Be there real soon. So you're sitting there and, sometimes with Uber and for those of you out there who do Uber or Lyft, sometimes it'll say 2 minutes at the beginning or it'll say 5 minutes and then it really is 8 minutes, right? Or something like that. I mean, that happens. Traffic lights, whatever. So I'm just kind of sitting there and it's past time that he's supposed to be there. And so I'm like, I go into the Uber app and I look and the time keeps going up. It's like 3 minutes away. Okay, that's fine. 3 minutes, I can still make it. I'll get there at about 7:55. 4 minutes away. What? 5 minutes away. What? 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 So I start messaging him like, hey, man, what's going on? You said you were going to be here. What is happening? Yeah, I'm like frantically messaging him. Zero response. The car keeps getting farther and farther away. And I'm like, oh, well, good. Now I'm going to be late. So I quickly, frantically go to Lyft and get a Lyft ride to come get me. At the same time, this freaking Uber ride that I've already reserved is just completely going off the rails. So finally, I just messaged him, and I'm like, "You really screwed me over, man." And then waited for my lift, which, by the way, was like half the cost, and showed up quickly. I was late arriving, of course. And then a few minutes later, you know, there's a message. I'm still looking at, like, it's still a live ride on the Uber app. Like, I still have a live ride going.
Yeah.
And because, like, I'm not canceling this. Like, you are canceling this. I am not canceling this and getting charged. And finally, he sends a message back like, "Hey, you know, we both got screwed over. Like, the person in the car who kept asking me to drive somewhere else, okay?" And I'm like, and then he says, "I would have told you earlier, but I don't text and drive." I'm like, "Well, you texted me when I texted you the first time."
Yeah.
"Stop the car. If this person's like, 'No, take me here, take me there,' fine. Stop the car. Say, 'Okay, I'm going to pull over to the side for a minute. Tell me, sorry, this is bad. You should find another ride and continue driving.' And then I would have made it on time. But instead, you text and drive when it works out, don't when it doesn't. And I got totally hosed. So the lesson here is Lyft over Uber. It's Coke over Pepsi, man. Sorry. It just got to be that way. Although I don't remember was it Lyft or Uber that screwed me over in Louisiana? I don't remember. Is there a third? Can we have a third option?
You're in a bad run, man. On a bad run here, travel wise.
It's just like, I just should have walked, man. That's the thing. I ended up then after that, after the meetings were over, I walked through the rain, put my hood on, walked through the rain. It was fine. I should have just done it. So it's on me too.
I'm astounded at the things that continue to happen to you on the road. I mean, you're not on the road that much. I mean, you are during football season, but it's not that much. And yet these things, one after another, just continue to follow you around.
I know. It's crazy. I will say, though, also on that walk home, I went into Five Guys and got an amazing burger. So
it was worth it.
It's not all bad. Yeah.
I love it. That's always a great feeling when you're looking at the Uber and it's like, "Oh, he's getting farther away, huh? That's good. Okay."
But 4 minutes, 5 minutes. It was like 1 minute. Yeah. Just a terrible, terrible, desperate feeling.
I had that one time a few years ago in Nashville where it just kept getting farther away. And finally, the person called me. He's like, "Hey, yeah, I'm going home. So see ya." Like, "Oh, cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Have a good time. Have a good trip home. Thanks for taking this ride." And then decided to just go home.
Oh God, it's just you know, I know it's not easy, and you know what, if someone's in your car, I get that, but that you have to try to communicate with people.
There's no way I could be an Uber or Lyft driver. There's just it would not end well. No
Kevin
chance.
Kevin says you might want to leave before 7:55. You have to be there at 8, lol. Dude, I got that Uber ride at like 7:30, like 4, okay? So now, look, I should have just walked through the ring, okay? But now I probably hung too long after seeing it, you know, like, and that's fair. I should have gone to an alternative earlier, but I had plenty of time.
This is a perfect example of why I'm 45 minutes early everywhere, and people always give me so much crap for it.
Hey, man, that's a great policy. It took me way past the age of 30 to be prompt, and obviously I'm still not.
615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans, the NFL Combine underway today. Rand Carthon speaking to the media later, as is Mike Vrabel. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.